Next is a class in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 14th chapter, text number 37, given on December 11th, 1993, in Puerto Rico.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created many residential places like the bodies of human beings, animals, birds, saints, and demigods. In all of these innumerable bodily forms, the Lord resides with the living being as Paramatma. Thus he is known as the Purushavatar, purport. In Bhagavad Gita 18:61 it is said, Ishvara sarvabhutanam videsharjuna tishtati brahma yan sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The living entity, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exists on the mercy of the Lord, who is always with him in any form of body. The living entity desires a particular type of material enjoyment, and thus the Lord supplies him with a body which is like a machine. Just to keep him alive in that body, the Lord remains with him as the Purusha, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita 535. Eko pyaso rachayatam jagadanda kotim yachchaktir asti jagadanda chayayarantak andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindam adipurisham tamaham bhajami. I worship the Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who enters the existence of every universe and every atom by one of his plenary portions, and thus manifests his infinite energy throughout the material creation. The living entity, being part and parcel of the Lord, is known as Jiva. The Supreme Lord, Purusha, remains with the Jiva to enable him to enjoy material facilities. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pastatari Satarane. This chapter is called Ideal Family Life. Very important chapter, especially the earlier verses, for information about how to practically conduct Grihastha Ashram. Even nowadays, Narada Muni is telling Yudhisthira Maharaj, who is asked, how can we who stay at home, meaning Grihastha, how can we prosecute spiritual life at the same time? So Narada has been giving instructions in the chapter about how to balance your work with your sadhana, and what kind of work you should take, what your association should be like, what you should do with your money, all these practical instructions. And then he's teaching where you should live and where are good places to set up your residence. We were reading this just yesterday in Trinidad, or the other day in Trinidad, about residence. A devotee should live in a secluded place, and Prabhupada explained that this means you shouldn't live where many ordinary people are living. But it doesn't mean you have to live all alone like a hermit, but you should try to avoid the association of non-devotees and try to live with devotees to be peaceful, to practice spiritual life. So he was talking about that, and talking about tirthas, holy places, talking about one to do yajñas. But what is the purpose of all the advice for the householder? It's that he may become attracted to Krishna consciousness. In that sense, it's not the ultimate goal is not any different than instructions to sannyasis or to brahmacharis. There are differences how they should live, but the goal is the same. In another purport, Prabhupada says, sometimes grihasthas have a misunderstanding that more is different now than I'm a grihastha than is actually supposed to be different. He says that as the brahmachari should follow the instructions of the spiritual master, so should the grihastha. He has some different instructions now. He has instructions how to live with wife or how to live with husband, and that involves also union for raising children. But everything still goes under the instructions of guru, shastra, and sadhu. There's a certain independence, but it's not an independence from that obedience. Dharmak svanustitak pumsham vishvakshena katasu yat not pori yad yori ratim shrama evahi kevalam. If you prosecute your occupational duties, but as a result you don't develop attraction for hearing about Krishna, then all your professional activities are a waste of time. This is in the first canto. So varna ashram does not mean forgetting Krishna or emphasizing something more than Krishna consciousness. So now this the particular last verse 36 mentioned that the souls are everywhere, all over the universe. There are living beings, even in other planets, and that Lord Krishna is the root of all living beings and the root of the whole universe. Sarva sichaham radisani visto. So, if you worship Krishna in the right way, then you worship all living beings. He says, therefore, simply by worshiping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities. And we should be interested in our relationship with all living entities. Our relationship with Krishna doesn't mean there's just me and Krishna and nobody else. But Krishna, he's with all the liberated souls. So if we want to join Krishna, we join all the pure devotees. It also doesn't mean, when we're in this world, that we have a relationship with Krishna and with the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, but we have no relationship with any other persons, any non-devotees or any non-human species. We have no relation with them because they're not devotees. No, we have a relationship with them too, but we have to understand what that is. It's different than the relationship with the devotees, but there's a relationship. But it's all done within devotional service to Lord Krishna. There's some people, they say, just the opposite. They say that the most important is your relationship with fellow man, and God he's included within that. Madhava Seva, Manava Seva is a slogan of the humanists in India, who say that the real way to worship Lord Madhava is to worship man or to serve mankind. So that's done by serving him materially, opening hospitals and different political programs, social programs, that will benefit humanity. And worship of God in temple or deity, or learning philosophy, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is not an important thing. They don't understand what spiritual potency is, what the spiritual need is of people, how people actually have a spiritual hunger, and they don't understand that even material good cannot be accomplished without God consciousness. So God consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, it has a program for all living beings within service to Krishna. So that was last verse, and that's elaborated on in this verse also. In this verse, Narada Muni says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has created many resident places. And in the synonyms also, what is that? Oh yeah, purusha, pureshu, within these resident places or bodies. So we live within our bodies. So they're like houses. There are our resident places. Some animals, you see that. Their bodies almost seem like separate places where they live. what is that? There's one crab, land crab. He carries this big shell that he lives in. Or snails also. A snail, very good example. Snail is just a slimy slug. But his house is his body. He has this hard shell and he lives in that body. So even in the gross sense, you get some idea that the self is different than the house he lives in or the body, which is his dwelling place. So the human being also, we have a particular house. According to your karma, you get a house. According to how much money you have, you can buy a nice house. So according to your karma, we have a human body now, which is a very good body, not the strongest body, not the best for if you want to have a lot of sex. It's not the very best. It's not the very best for sheer physical strength, but it's very good for self-realization. So we have this residence place. But any residence place, there's a soul in there, and there's also the Paramatma, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus he is known as a Purusha Avatar. Now, why is he there? It says in the purport that he's there just to keep him alive in that body. If the Lord was not in our hearts, we could not live. So you don't even have to speak first about that he's there for some spiritual purpose. He's just there to keep us alive. Sarva shachaham riddhi sannivisto mataksmatir ganamapo anamacha. Krishna says, I'm in everyone's heart, and I give him memory, intelligence, and I make him forget. We need to forget also. Even the psychologists say, something, if we remembered everything, there's so many horrible things, and some things we repress as part of, course you shouldn't repress everything, but some things we repress out of mental health. And also, we forget, by Krishna's arrangement, something. We forget all our past lives. We don't even remember them. They're not useful for this life, so Krishna makes us forget them. And then he enables us to function, drive a car, and do all the stuff that we do. That's by the direction of the Lord. It's not enough that we have some intelligence of our own, that we're a spirit soul. You might say, God has done his work by creating the resident place, the body, and we're part of God, we're a spirit soul, so by high arrangement, we're in the soul, we're in the body, and that's all. Why do we need the super soul? You could make some feasible argument like that, but that's not the case. And so Krishna doesn't come unnecessarily. Krishna doesn't say, yes, well, I just come along for the ride. I have nothing else to do, so I expand myself into everybody. No, he comes because you need him. So we should be grateful. But I'm a little soul. I'm a covered soul. And I can't remember, and I can't do this, I can't do that. I need the help of my friend just to keep alive. And why do I want to keep alive? Because of this foolish idea I have that I can enjoy this body, but I can't even do that without my friend. So Krishna reminds me what to do according to my desires. We have this higher intelligence coming from the Lord, and we can tap into it according to our different capacity and receptivity. According to our past activities, you get more intelligence, more powers, which means more reciprocation with the Lord in the heart. Just see, among the different species, or even among human beings, some of them have much higher capacities. They can think far beyond what others can think. This means the Lord in the heart is giving them more intelligence due to their past activities. So much so that they're called sometimes vibhuti. They're like empowered, intelligent, beautiful, able to make money, and so on. That's a little bit of Krishna in the material world. So he says here, he remains with the jivas to enable them to enjoy material facilities. But this is a mistake that they have this relationship with God. So the devotees, they, by the grace of their spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, they're starting to develop the right relationship with the Lord in the heart. And part of that relationship with Krishna is to see, at least, that he is in the hearts of everyone. This is part of being a bona fide devotee. Now there are some nice, a couple of nice verses about this in the teachings of Lord Kapila. I look at. He tells his mother, "One who offers me respect but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist never attains peace of mind because of his inimical behavior towards other living beings. My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple." This is like an indirect definition of Kanishta Adhikari. He worships the deities in the temple, which is good, which puts him far above others who don't appreciate the deities in the temple. But if that deity worship is ignorant that the same Lord who he's worshiping with all the paraphernalia of the deity worship, that same Lord is in the heart of every living being, then Krishna is not pleased by the deity worship of that person. In this particular purport, Prabhupada, he makes a connection between deity worship and the Lord being in everyone's heart. He says, when you offer the deity food, that's very nice, that Krishna can take, but then you should take that food and distribute it widely, said, to all the other jivas. Also, we distribute prasad in the form of knowledge, as in Prabhupada's books, to distribute the books. Why do we think there's any good in distributing the books? Well, because Prabhupada said so and his spiritual master said so. But why do they say so? Because it's possible that human beings can, when they read these books, change from devotee to non-devotee. So this is a very good way, by preaching, distributing books, distributing prasadam, to recognize that the Lord is in their hearts. It doesn't mean we like their activities, we like what they're doing. Prabhupada, so much of his preaching is a kind of transcendental anger or disgust with all these rascals and fools and mudhas. Someone may say, your spiritual master doesn't seem to like people. Is he a misanthrope, a person who doesn't like people? There's such a person who has like a disgust with humanity. He's just seeing what humanity has done in general, in history, all these wars and murders and everything. And he's seen what people have done to him. He's just disgusted with people, doesn't want anything to do with people. He thinks they're inherently bad, and he simply tries to avoid them or maybe cause harm to them. So if you hear Prabhupada saying, they're all rascals, is he like that? No. He does that out of a kind of big brotherly or fatherly affection, but he proves his actual concern for them, as he did, by traveling everywhere to try to tell people about Krishna. So he's trying to wake them up. He doesn't say, you rascal, I had nothing to do with you, go to hell. But he says, Jiva Jago, wake up. Shankaracharya says, Bhajagovinda, Bhajagovinda, Mudha, Mate, you fool. Worship Govinda, this is what you should do. So this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada, and we should try to follow that. See the Lord in the heart of all living beings by trying to give them Krishna consciousness. And as far as animals, who we cannot give Krishna consciousness to so directly, at least don't disturb their life duration. Don't kill them, because Krishna is there in their heart and they're living out their karma. They should not be disturbed. Then Kapila Dev says, "My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals, performing his prescribed duties, one should worship the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until one realizes my presence in his own heart and in the hearts of other living entities as well." So it's a kind of laboring without profit to worship the Lord in the temple or by rituals, without any recognition that Krishna is there in the hearts of others. This is, at least theoretically, we may not be able to look at somebody's heart, look at somebody's body and see their soul or see the super soul. But we believe on the basis of Shastra, and we get some kind of experience that as I'm a spirit soul, so that person is a spirit soul also, and Krishna is in their heart, and we are related to them. So these qualities, fraternity, brotherhood, they're good, but they can only be achieved with Krishna in the center. And we have a vision for such a world where people can be united, could be peaceful and prosperous, and take shelter of Krishna conscious leadership. So individually, devotees have to make some relationship with non-devotees, whatever it may be. And then the Madhyamadikari, we're trying to become Madhyamadikari, not only see Krishna in the temple, but we see Krishna in four ways. We see Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, either in the temple or as he's revealed in the Shastra in his holy name. Then there are jivas, and there are three kinds of jivas. One kind are devotees, and so we're very eager to make friends with them. They're very different than non-devotees. Actually, we don't like to associate with non-devotees, not in any intimate way. Just like the ideal preacher, he lives in a temple, goes out, stays with devotees in the morning, goes out to preach to non-devotees, but then he comes back to be with devotees. He doesn't like to be with the non-devotees in their habits, in their places of residence, and not in their consciousness. The devotee wants friendship with devotees. Then innocent persons he approaches and tries to give them Krishna consciousness. But then when he tries, he sees that some of them, they are bad. They're outright atheists. They're very inimical to Krishna. So when he sees that, he does not even try to approach them. Although Krishna's in their heart, he cannot. It's very unfavorable. There's nothing he can do. So he avoids them. Krishna will take care of them. But the innocent persons and the devotees he relates to. Now, another point about the relationship of Krishna and the living being. So in the purport he says that the purpose of the super soul is to keep him alive and to help him enjoy material facilities. But this is for the non-devotee. We hope that we have more of a relationship with Krishna than that. That we just depend on him to keep us alive in this material body. That special relationship is described in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tvam yenamam upayantite. To the special souls who are inclined to perform devotional service to me, bhajan, with love, priti, purvakam, I give them my association as that is called buddhi yoga. The inferior yoga is called jnana yoga, karma yoga, but buddhi yoga is when Krishna gives you gives you intelligence, not just to enjoy material facilities, but to come to him. This is the intelligence that we want. To get dictation from Krishna, how to serve him and how to come to him, including how to see that he's present in the hearts of others, how we can relate to them, and all aspects of Krishna consciousness. I heard Prabhupada saying that that part of Krishna consciousness means to talk with Krishna, that he's a person, so he talks with his devotees, but not with rascals. He said just as a big man in this material world, he doesn't talk with nonsense persons, but he talks with responsible persons. Krishna does talk with his pure devotees. So we want to talk with them, those who are in communication with Krishna, and they will teach us how to be in communication with Krishna, Buddhi Yogam. Well, I was recently talking about it in one seminar about the Chaita Guru, that how Krishna is in our heart as the Guru, and he can give us direction. And one person said, "This doesn't seem to be something for us. This is something very advanced, that you can develop relationship with Krishna in the heart." But I referred to the Bhagavad Gita 10.10, and there, which is Tesham Satyati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, in the purport, Prabhupada describes that the Lord in the heart functions for a less intelligent devotee, as he calls him, who, although he has a spiritual master and is part of a spiritual movement, somehow cannot understand what's going on, can't understand the Shastras and so on, but is a sincere devotee and is working for Krishna. Then, since no one else can get through to this person, Krishna personally guides him. So this is evidence that the Chaita Guru is not only operates on a very, very rare case of a very advanced devotee, but he helps any sincere soul. So we should assume that Krishna is helping us, anything that we can do. In one sense, the way Krishna helps us is not so different than the non-devotees. Like, how do we know how to string a garland or decorate a deity or do these strictly devotional arts? By higher intelligence, Krishna tells you what to do, especially in the area of how it might please Krishna. So that these are, therefore they're called devotional arts. If you read, for example, the arts that the gopis know, they seem to be ordinary things, how to sing songs, how to dress hair, how to do things, how to go and meet Krishna. But they appear, in fact, to be something like arts of love between man and women. But actually, one could know those things in a mundane way, but he wouldn't know how to please Krishna. So the intelligence that we get from Krishna is an art to do things in a certain way that it will please Krishna. Yeah. And we should be able to learn that way, and if you're teaching, you should teach that way. Mm. Yesterday I asked a young devotee, he had cooked a nice preparation. I said, "Who taught you to cook?" He said, "Oh, Baladev taught me how to cook." So what is that, learning how to cook in Krishna consciousness? It's not the same as learning how to cook as a materialist. It is an art to it. It means that if you really learn from a devotee cook, he's teaching you all along, oh, don't smell this, don't taste this, make it nice this. And then if he's really a really nice devotee, he even knows how Krishna likes it and how Krishna likes to be dressed, how Krishna likes the prasadam. So there's an art, but that comes, you may say, how do you know that, what Krishna likes? One time, Prabhupada was on a walk in Mayapur, with devotees were with him from different parts of the world, and one of the leaders was there from England. So Prabhupada asked him, "How is Radha Landanishwara?" And the devotee, in kind of embarrassed humility, said, "No." Prabhupada said, "Is he happy?" And the devotee laughed and said, "I don't know, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "You should." So, if you're worshipping a deity for so many years, you don't know if he's satisfied? There should be some kind of reciprocation, that you don't think he's a statue, you think he's Krishna, then there must be some idea. This is the real intelligence of Buddha Yoga, is how to know how to please Krishna, and spiritual master also teaches us that. And so it's quite different than just keeping us alive and enabling us to enjoy material facilities. Devotees sometimes are confused when topics come up about Paramatma. They say, "Is this for us? We're not yogis that we meditate on the Paramatma. We're interested in Krishna and Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Radha and Krishna. Why should we hear anything about Paramatma?" Actually, Paramatma is only for the material world, but that's where we are, in the material world, trying to become a devotee. And So we need Krishna's help. And yes, Krishna is helping us not to meditate on his four-armed form, but to meditate how to cook for me, how to dress me, how to see me in the other living beings, how to give them Krishna consciousness. Ekatvam Prabhu distributed so many books yesterday. I'm sure that Krishna is helping you. You're not doing it on your own. And you have to see to some degree that that person, Krishna is in that person's heart. Let me try. Maybe he'll come to Krishna. And then Krishna sees that you're sincere and he'll give you some hint. Yes, try like this. But Krishna wants to help his devotee. That in that pastime with Krishna and Bhima and Arjuna, they went to fight Jarasandha. So Jarasandha said, these other two are not worthy for me to fight with, I will just fight with Bhima. So they began to fight and fight and fight day after day, and Bhima got disappointed because he couldn't kill the powerful Jarasandha. Jarasandha was a demon who was born to two wives. Two different wives wanted a benediction from this king to have a child. So they were given something to eat and they ate it, but they both became pregnant, but they produced two different parts of one child. So they, when the king saw this, he threw the parts in the forest. And this she-demon, she saw them, and she thought at first, oh, this is very delicate flesh, I will eat them. But she was curious that this is actually a baby in two parts, so she put it together. And somehow she had a soft spot in her demoniac heart, so she brought the baby to the king and said, here, let the child live. And the king said, I want to give you a benediction. She said, name him after me. So the baby was called Jarasandha, who was joined by Jara, the demon. So this was the secret about him, that he was actually in two parts, was put together. So when Bhima was fighting and he couldn't win, then Krishna hinted to him by some sign that actually he's very powerful, but he's not a normal person, and you can bisect him at the parts where he was joined. So then Bhima knew this weak point and he took him apart. So sometimes book distribution may be like that. You have to know how to break apart the demon's inimical exterior, that I will not be defeated, I will not take a book, I will not give you a donation. And then Krishna gives you an idea of something to say, and all of a sudden he's walking away with a book. And you have a donation. You have to think like that, that Krishna, I cannot defeat this person. Give me some hint. You know everything about this person who I'm trying to give Krishna consciousness. You know how they're joined, what their constitution is. But I am your servitor, but I'm too weak to whatever it may be. In our attempt to relate to the non-devotees or to the devotees, we have trouble relating also to devotees. What is the secret? Not to always... Jarasandha was actually to defeat him and kill him. But we want to love the devotees, but we don't know how. We want to love the non-devotees or give them Krishna. We don't know how. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajatam prittipurgam. So as Krishna helped Bhima, he'll help us, give us some genius, some inspiration. Ah, I know how to approach this. And then we become successful. I'll read the verse again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created many residential places, like the bodies of human beings, animals, birds, saints, and demigods. In all of these innumerable bodily forms, the Lord resides with the living being as Paramatma. Thus he is known as the Purushavatar. So any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna.
Matter of Krishna speaking to devotees from the heart. We always hear, at least I've heard lately some tapes of preaching that this school teacher Kirsten is very impressed with, this very prominent evangelist here in Puerto Rico. He the man is always speaking, you know, that God has revealed this to me, God has told me this and that. Mm-hmm. At times, and, you know, from what I have heard, he's a very serious, a very dedicated preacher. He, one tape I heard, he was explaining, like, the way Christian should do in terms of prayer, prayerful life. And it was amazing to me to hear how these tiny people, you know, the latest you should wake up in the morning is 3. Or even if you go to a preaching engagement, you know, the latest, very latest is 5, and get up and start praying to God. And these tiny people exactly how to carry on this Saturday, you know. Mm. And even to the point, the other day he was preaching on TV, and he was saying, I have never said this publicly, but God revealed to me many years ago that I shouldn't eat meat. And I have been a vegetarian for like 20 years. And he, you know, he was telling, he was saying, I don't say it publicly because I don't want people to understand that I'm preaching something foreign to Christianity. But this God revealed this to me, and I have followed it, and it has helped me in many ways. Anyway, so you hear people like that. On the other hand, you hear a lot of people, like I have a cousin who recently started, you know, giving the ability to live spiritually and physically through Christianity. And I was preaching to him, you know, how can you accept these points, you know, about Christianity? You know, specifically, I was talking about the transmigration of the soul. And he's saying, well, right now, you know, the Holy Spirit's telling you, I'm sorry to tell you, but this is not the truth, what he's telling you. Mm. And I said, well, you know, how can we understand this? Like,
I don't want to, you know, make judgments about particular people or even religions, but there's a lot of God told me which is sentimental and is born out eventually by the activities of the people. So that they act in ways that a God-conscious person doesn't act after years of convincing people that God told me this, God told me that. Well, just like there's in Kali Yuga, there's so many cheating processes, and in India you have people who are saying, I am God, avatars, and so many evangelists in the West saying God is telling me this and telling me that. A lot of skepticism toward it too, because of so many cheating examples. But our position is, you would say, rather conservative about that. About say within Krishna consciousness, about such claims, we say that everything has to be backed up not just by that, by your feeling that God is talking to you, but by Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Prabhupada says, religion without philosophy is sentimentalism, or it can become fanatical. And philosophy without religion is dry mental speculation. So that could be very dangerous, subject to no test, completely subjective. Sometimes someone within ISKCON tries to bring in something like that. I had a dream. Krishna said to me a dream. Well then, and no one can tell him otherwise. Especially in the beginning means when one still has material thoughts and desires and is trying to control the senses, it's very important to follow the spiritual master. And this is where it's significant that they don't give much importance to the spiritual master, those who say that God is my guru and God is telling what to do, that they don't have a spiritual master, whereas in Vaishnavism, spiritual master is very much stressed, and that's the protection, that you may have your concept of what God is saying, and he has, and she has, and she has, but there's a standard that's from the Shastra, and the spiritual master is someone who, he accepts the Shastra, he doesn't accept just his own feelings. So, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu are there. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Of those three, Krishna he's all of them. He's Guru. The Sadhu represents him, and the Shastra represents him. But my point is, it's not only God. It's God, God's representative. God, God's book. God, God's trusted devotee. And that's the checks and balance, we use that expression. So the, in material life, we need a checks and balance, not just one dictator or one president, but then what he says, that has to be checked by a larger democratic body or this body or that body. Just have one person to, without any checks and balance. So in our own spiritual life, not just me and my concept of God talking to me, but it should make sense in parampara and according to the Siddhanta. Because there are a lot of, there are you stressed sincerity of the person, dedication, but in themselves, those can be had by demons also. And that in itself is not something. Or gut feeling, too much. That's sentimental. I feel this way. And then next year you may feel something different. After a while we get to see this about ourselves. That, first I thought this, then I thought that, I made a mistake. So in humility, even if I think that God may be saying something to me, I go through this process. You have examples. Lord Chaitanya, when he chanted the holy names, he had overwhelming experiences. He thought it was a kind of madness. He went to his spiritual master, and he was ready to be told that this is God or this is just your hallucination. Just tell me, what is it, he said. Am I going mad or is this good? And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us about how he came to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he had some amazing revelations, but then he went and got it. He got all as much permission as possible from different persons, including the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, the deity in Vrindavan. So that is a better position than the trying to convince people that God is talking to me. The intelligent people really can't accept that. It tends to be those who are also sentimental or who want to be cheated will accept the only authority the person has is his charismatic way of telling you that God talks to him. He has a way of telling you that God is speaking to him, which in itself there's something magnetic about it and you believe him. But that charisma is, again, it's like... that's what the pop stars have. They have charisma, but they're not into God consciousness. They're just selling themselves. But why is it that one singer, he sings, and he's a Michael Jackson, and somebody else sings, and nobody cares for him? In one sense, it may not be, you know, huge oceans apart, but he's got charisma. So these evangelists, it's not necessarily purity, but it's Shakti, that's for sure. That when they talk, thousands of people listen. When he asks for a donation, he gets millions of dollars. And then when he falls down, everyone is angry. That's not so long ago in America. You know, the biggest televangelist, one after another, they all got exposed as, you know, gross deviants of ordinary moral standards. But the week before it came out about them, it was, God told me this, God told me that. That one evangelist, he said God told him that to build this certain temple that they were building that he wanted, and that he had to have it in such and such $1 million within a week or something. And then he began to fast and waited for the money to come in. And so they believed him and they gave him the money. But it's all that sensationalism is not part of Krishna consciousness. Thank God it isn't. And Srila Prabhupada, he's the one who says this, though I was quoting, that he says, God will talk, he says, but not to a nonsense. He talks to his trusted persons. And when Prabhupada was saying that, I thought, this is very intriguing. I'm sure that Krishna must be talking to Prabhupada in different ways. because he's telling us this so forcefully that there are people to whom God does talk, but not to fools. I said, well, he must talk to Prabhupada. But Prabhupada hardly ever said anything like that. Or if he did, even indirectly, then if someone asked him further about it, he wouldn't tell. He didn't preach, God told me this, God told me that. But my spiritual master told me to go in the West, and Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, preach like that. So that's it. We should be looking for that.